Thank you, ladies, for that beautiful music. One of the great joys of Christmas, without question, is the music. Some of the greatest music in the history of the world has been written about the birth of Christ. Last night I had the privilege of seeing the Messiah, Handel's Messiah. What a beautiful, beautiful piece. By the way, that little girl is my neighbor, Emma. And I want to testify that she has a very, very friendly dog. And she has a good reason to be thankful for that dog. But we're glad that you're with us this evening. I want to just take a few minutes before we enjoy refreshments, which was already mentioned. We do have refreshments. Please join us afterwards. But before we do that, I want to share with you why I celebrate the birth of Christ. And I want to begin by reading. I want to read from Scripture. We have two accounts in the Gospels of the birth of Christ. And I'm going to read the first one, Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. You do not need to follow along in the bio, in your Bible, but you can just listen to me as I read. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the simplicity of the truth that is in the Bible. What a beautiful, simple story, and yet it is true. We thank you for the birth of Christ. I pray here this evening that as we speak about these things, Lord, that you might stir hearts according to your goodwill and according to your purpose. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I preach for a living, but to be honest with you, one of the most difficult messages I give is the Christmas message. And I'll tell you why. It's not that I have to study extra hard to figure out what I'm going to say, but the problem is that Christmas, for so many people, is full of religious tradition and platitudes. Everyone has sung the carols. They all know the terminology. They all have heard the story about the babe in the manger. It's very difficult to get past that. So what I want to do this evening, in a few minutes, is really more than anything else to give you a personal testimony. And that testimony is this: why I celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. It is a personal testimony because there is no way that I can express to you what Christ means to me because of all that he has done on my behalf. And I will give you three reasons why I celebrate every day the birth of Christ. And they are, first of all, and they are summed up in his name, which I will explain in a minute, Christ Jesus the Lord. Because of what he is, because of what he has done, and because of what he will do, for those three reasons, I celebrate the birth of Christ every day. And let me begin by speaking just for a minute about who he is. I believe personally that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is Christ. The name Christ is really a title. It means anointed one. And it's equivalent to the term Messiah. And when we say that Jesus is the Christ, we are saying something about what he fulfilled. You realize before Christ came, there were hundreds and hundreds of prophecies that came before that expressed in great detail who the Messiah would be and what he would be like. The Old Testament is filled with prophecies that describe where the Christ would come from, that he would come from Israel, that he would come from the tribe of Judah, that he would come from the line of David, that he would be born in Bethlehem, that he would have a certain kind of ministry, a healing ministry, that he would say certain things and do certain things, that he would suffer. It describes in great detail in Isaiah 53 his crucifixion, 700 years before Christ ever came. It describes in prophecy his resurrection and his ascension. There's only one person who fills all those prophecies. His name is Jesus Christ. He's not an accident. His birth was not an accident. It was a fulfillment of something that God said over centuries would happen. And it did. He is the Son of God. He is God become man. And he is the fulfillment of all that God said would come. So I believe personally that he is the Son of God. I don't believe this is a myth. Jesus Christ truly was born of a virgin because it was prophesied in Isaiah 7 that he would be. I believe he lived on this earth, just as the Gospels say, that he was crucified and that he rose from the dead. He is the Son of God. I believe that personally. And the second reason that I celebrate the birth of Christ is why he came. He came to save me from my sin. The name Jesus is his personal name. If Christ is a title, Jesus is his personal name. Like my name is Dean, his name was Jesus. Jesus was a name that Joseph and Mary gave to him, as we just read, because God told them to give him that name. And that name means Yahweh or Jehovah saves. Jehovah or Yahweh is the name of God in the Old Testament. And the name means Yahweh saves or Jehovah saves. It's actually the same, it's the Greek word for the Hebrew Joshua. It's equivalent to that. But it says in Matthew chapter 1 that Jesus came to save his people from their sins. Jesus did not come simply to be a good example, a good prophet, or a leader. He didn't come to do that, primarily. What he came to do was save, which is what the Old Testament said the Messiah would do. That was the whole point of all the prophecies. God said in the book of Isaiah, "I will bring salvation with my own arm." And he did. He came down in the form of a little baby and was born in a manger. And his name was Jesus. Yahweh saves. He didn't come to save us from problems. He didn't come to save us from our environment. He didn't come to save us from world leader. He came to save us from sin. That's the only thing that we need salvation from. There's only one thing that separates us from God, and that is sin. That's our sin. My sin separates me from God. And Jesus came to the earth to save His people from their sins. And if you want to know what sin is, biblically speaking, sin is a word that isn't used very often today in our culture anymore. If it is, it's used very generically, very offhandedly, and pejoratively. But sin is clearly defined in the Bible. In 1 John 3:4, it says it's the transgression of the law. And if we want to know what the law is, all we really have to do is go back to the Ten Commandments, which most people are familiar with. But Jesus summed up the Ten Commandments in two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Now, I know that there's not one person here that has kept those Ten Commandments for their whole life, including myself. It's impossible. Because the law, the Bible tells us, was not given to save us. It was given to show us our wretchedness. It was given to show us our helplessness and our sin, which it does very well. Oftentimes, if you ask someone, are you a Christian, they say, well, I keep the Ten Commandments. Well, actually, no, you don't. Nobody does. It's impossible. And it is sin that separates us from God. And God, because He is good, because He is righteous, must punish sin. And the punishment for sin, which was given right away in the beginning at the Garden of Eden, is death. The great evidence that you and I are sinners is the fact that we will die. Because that's the punishment for sin. And of course, the Bible says that there's eternal punishment for sin after we die. But death is the great proof. You know, we're all in death row. It's only a matter of time. 100 years from now, none of you will be here. I will not be here. We will have all died because we are all sinners. And the Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. But Jesus came to save me from my sin. This is why I celebrate the birth of Christ, because He saved me from my sin. This is not some ethereal vision out there somewhere, some pie in the sky thing. This is something that Jesus did for me. He forgave me my sin. He gave me a new heart, as it says in the Old Testament. Jesus came to do this, and He did it by dying on the cross, by taking my place. I should have died. Jesus came and fulfilled the law, as it says in Matthew 5. He came and He lived a perfect life. He didn't have to die because He was sinless, but He chose to die. He gave Himself as a sacrificial lamb on Calvary on my behalf and paid my sin. And the proof of it, of course, is His resurrection. He overcame death. And the way that we have this forgiveness of our sin is not by being religious, not by keeping 10 commandments, not by getting baptized, not by being a good person, not by giving money to the church, not by doing good things or being a nice person. None of those things get any person to heaven. In fact, the Bible says our works are like filthy rags to Him. That's not how one obtains salvation. You don't obtain salvation by religion. You obtain salvation by faith. The Old Testament says, Abraham believed the Lord, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. That's how I was saved. Abraham looked forward to that work of Christ on the cross. I look backward to it. We're saved the same way, by faith. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me and took my place. And I put my faith in that. And I rest in that. And when He does that, He says, I will give you my Spirit. And He puts a new heart in us. A heart that wants to obey God. That wants to walk with God and do what's right. That's salvation. Salvation is not earned. It is a gift. That's the second reason that I celebrate Christ's birth. The third reason, very, very briefly, is summed up in the word Lord, and it is what He is going to do. Lord means master. We could almost say it's very close to the idea of king. See, there are many people who would say, well, that's fine for you, Dean, if you want to believe that and you need that crutch. Actually, everyone in this room, everyone ever born, will face Jesus Christ. That's not my opinion, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that all will face God's judgment. You will either face Jesus Christ as your Savior and rejoice as I do, or you will face Him as your judge, because He is Lord. I tell you very joyfully, He is Lord of my life. And I am thankful that He is Lord of my life. He is the best master anyone could ever have. He is a good God, and He is gracious. But I want to tell you, if you do not put your faith in Christ, you do not repent, you do not seek His face, you will face Him as your judge. So I want to challenge you today to understand this is the meaning of Christmas. This is why we rejoice. You know why the same good news is still good news? Because we still have the same problem we've always had. We're going to die. Do you know all the change that's taking place in our world, and things are constantly moving, things are constantly progressing with all technology, everything's changing. You know what hasn't changed? The death rate. It's still 100%. It hasn't changed. That's why this is good news. We still have the same problem. And there's only one solution. It's the person of Jesus Christ. There is no other salvation. Why? There is no other Messiah. This is the one God sent. This is the one God said would come. This is the one God prophesied. There is no other way. Jesus said, I am the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And when we come by faith to Christ, He forgives our sins, and then we know the true joy of Christmas. It's not giving gifts or getting gifts. It is knowing Christ as your Savior and having your sins forgiven. No more religion. No more trying to impress people. No more trying to impress God. No more trying to be something you're not. It is giving yourself to the Lord in faith, asking forgiveness. And He forgives. He's a wonderful Lord. And we are so thankful. I am thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and for His faithfulness to me and for His forgiveness of my sins. Because I have the hope of eternal life. I know that if I go out here tonight and I die in a car accident, I know where I'm going. I'm not worried. Because His promises are true. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Christ. Thank You for all the clear, clear testimonies in Scripture to who He is and what He did and what He will do. It's not something we have to guess about. Your Word is so clear on all these plain facts that we are sinners, that we have offended You, a holy and perfect and righteous God, and that You provided salvation in Your Son. Father, we thank You for this. Lord, I pray that if there are any here tonight who do not know You, who are still trying to either ignore God or claim that He doesn't exist, or perhaps they're trying to please God or impress God, I pray that they would see Christ for who He is. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way, but the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. I pray, Father, that those who are here this evening might see the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior, and that they might turn from their sin and put their faith in the living Christ, the one who was resurrected and now is at the right hand of the Father and intercedes in our behalf. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. I pray now, Lord, that as we have fellowship this evening, afterwards, that our words and our thoughts would be pleasing unto you, and that you would guide us in all that we do. And Father, I pray truly that we might this year truly know the meaning of Christmas. It is Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. You are dismissed, and we can have a time of fellowship. There's, I know, quite a few goodies out there, and so we'll enjoy meeting some of you for the first time. Thank you very much for coming, and thank you especially, Strings of Gold.